Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Oh, well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the street. They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your seat. They'll stone you when you're walking on the floor. They'll stone you when you're walking to the door. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. They'll stone you when you're at the breakfast table. They'll stone you when you are young and able. They'll stone you when you're trying to make a buck. Then they'll stone you, and then they'll say good luck. Tell you what, I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you, and they'll say it's the end. Then they'll stone you, then they'll come back again. They'll stone you when you're riding in your car. They'll stone you when you're playing your guitar. I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you walk all alone. They'll stone you when you are walking home. They'll stone you and then say you are brave. They'll stone you when you're set down in your grave. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Hello, everyone. I am Chuck Gregory, and this is the new American Dream Radio Show. And we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's a listener-supported network. Be sure to head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and show them some support. They've got two streams of music going just about 24/7. It's really a worthy cause, really worth showing them some support. So be sure to do that. Tell them you like the new American dream. All right, my first guest of the evening is Mike Bond. He's a novelist, journalist. He's got a lot of things going. And I spoke with Mike earlier. He's over in France right now. And I'm going to play back that interview right now.
Morning, Mike.
Morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Great. Well, thanks again, Chuck, for the invitation. I'm delighted to participate. So I've looked at some of the topic ideas that you mentioned, and there's so many good things to talk about. Do you have any special interests that we might cover to begin with?
Start with, I mean, assuming this is okay with you, let's start with where you are, what you're doing now, and then go from there.
Well, I've lived a good part of my life in France, and I'm in southern France now, where we have a home. And so a lot of our kids live in France. So we're just spending time with kids and enjoying southern France. And I'm working on a series of different books. Several of my books take place at least partially or fully in France. And it's a very interesting culture and a very interesting way to look at life, and quite different in terms of how the relationship between the government and the individual is structured and how individuals, as a result, come to decide what they want to do with life, what is the good life, and how to live with our fellow human beings as well as all the rest of the creatures that populate this tiny little planet of ours. So it's a very interesting place, and of course, politically, it's quite different from the United States. And so, you get a different view of many different things, and multiple viewpoints are always enriching and stimulating to the brain. So I've been coming back and forth from France ever since I was a teenager, and have always benefited from it. And I one other thing, Chuck, I recommend highly to every single person out there, if you can, go to France and spend some time and try to get into the culture. Don't just be a tourist.
Well, I'd like you to expound a little bit more on the differences in politics and or government.
Very good question, and your questions are always good, Chuck, and they're always very complicated. Always very complicated. You don't offer up any yes or no questions. I would say in France, let me start with this. In France, you can get a sense of what it's like that essentially every person is a ward of the government until that person is 18 years old, which means the government has a major role to play in every person's life. Many things are free. Healthcare is basically free and is excellent. Education right through the PhD, starting with nursery school right through PhD, is free or basically close to free. The French people, at the same time that they tend to be irascible and not get along with each other, they're very closely linked. It's very familial, the culture. And in fact, it's normal for families in France are much more closely connected than is the average in the U.S. Children usually spend weekends or Sundays with their parents. I mean, if they've moved away from home, they do, if they can. Grandchildren as well go spend the weekends or Sundays with parents and grandparents. There's a great deal of closeness, of familial closeness, and that has a lot of very positive impacts on the soul, because the family is one of the major things that keeps us happy and sane. So I would say those are the good things. The downsides, in a sense, are that individual freedom is somewhat constrained. The taxes, I was just talking to a friend today who's a cardiologist, a brilliant man, and he said that 70% of his income goes in taxes, and in France, doctors are not that well paid. So it's a much more egalitarian culture, but at the same time, many of the opportunities we have in the United States for personal freedom are not available in France. There's much more, I don't want to call it a herd mentality, but that's kind of what it is. The U.S. And France are both subject to enormous immigration pressures for different reasons. But in both cases, both countries are seen as, by those who wish to live there, they're seen as lands of opportunity for people who come from places with less opportunity, less financial options, and less personal freedom. So it's to live one's life between France and the U.S. is a lovely combination. You kind of get the best of both worlds.
Okay. Well, I could go two ways from here because I'm very interested in talking about the individual freedom aspects, but you've given me such a perfect lead-in into something else. I think what I'd like to know is basically you're saying that both the U.S. and France are targets of refugees.
Definitely, and for many reasons. It's important when one tries to look at this refugee crisis, which is largely driven by overpopulation, that we have to see it from both sides. I mean, if I were a young man in Senegal, for instance, where one has where French is taught, so one would even have some French, and I would be very anxious if I could to get to France because the opportunities are so much greater. In Africa, for instance, there's 1.5 or 1.3 billion people, and in 20 years, it's going to be 2.5 billion, and the poverty is absolutely heartbreaking, and there's no opportunity to alleviate that poverty. There's just too many people in areas where there is not enough, cannot be enough agriculture and other resources to support populations like that. And for instance, in Africa today, 70% of the people living sub-Sahara, in other words, below the Sahara Desert in the main part of Africa, 70% of them are 14 years old or younger, which means that the population explosion that is coming to Africa is going to be enormous, and everybody's going to try to get to Europe. And the problem is that Europe is already at the maximum that it can take without breaking down in terms of immigration. France is completely, I mean, they're foundering economically, they're foundering culturally in every other way because the economic pressure from immigration is just so enormous. And it's very similar in the United States. There was a recent Gallup poll done in Latin America, i.e. all of those countries in the Western Hemisphere south of the U.S. border, from Mexico all the way down to Argentina and Chile. And there's approximately 480 million people that live there. And according to the Gallup poll, which was pretty extensive, 70% of those people would like to come and live in the United States in the next year. So we and again, the problem is overpopulation. I did a lot of human rights reporting and war journalism in Central America during the hideous years when we were supporting dictators and slaughtering hundreds of thousands of people. And there's not enough resources for this expanding population to live on. So you and I mean, what would we do if we were down there and we had families or friends to support? We would try to make our way north as fast as we could by whatever process. But at the same time, how much can we take? And what happens to the United States when we reach a billion people? We lose the environment. We lose this many of the special things that make the United States so extraordinary. It's very similar between the pressure being put on France, the UK, Italy, and Germany by migration from Africa, and the same from coming to the U.S. from Latin America. And in both cases, it's not the really poor that are coming. They can't afford it because it takes $2,000 to $3,000 to $5,000 to make it. So we're draining these countries of their most active, most well-educated, and most potentially productive citizens. It's not the poor. They can't possibly. A person in Africa making $100 a year, which is kind of for many people, that's about where they're at. They can't possibly afford the $3,000 to have a coyote or the African equivalent drag them up north. So that's a long-winded response, Chuck, to a very good question, but that's kind of my thoughts on it.
It was really quite fascinating because the impression that I have gotten from most people, or at least most Americans, talking about the refugee crisis, is that its motivations are political rather than basically starvation. This is a different take, and it makes a lot of sense to me, and kind of changes, you know, a lot of things. Yeah.
In some cases, it's political, and if you look at the tragedy in Syria, I mean, which has been induced, and the tragedy in Iraq, which have both been induced by a combination of U.S. warmongering, led by, it started, I mean, with the Bush presidency, as well as with Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden. On both sides of the aisle, we have people who are very focused in the U.S. government on what they call regime change and constant war. And so on the one hand, we are devastating these places and driving people out. And on the other hand, Islamic fundamentalism, for instance, in Syria, Iraq, and other places, Lebanon, for instance, is so atrocious that people are trying to flee because the pressures on them from fundamentalism and are so strong that it's kind of like 1984. If we've all read 1984, and it's so bad in these Islamic countries, the lack of freedom, particularly for women. There is zero freedom for women in almost every Islamic country. So there is some politics in it, too. And in places like Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua, these are countries that the United States has consistently dominated and devastated for nearly 100 years, more than 100 years in some cases. So that's certainly political. I mean, it's important to remember in Guatemala, that, and like in Chile, that we induced regime change. We are the ones who came in and threw out popularly elected presidents. We did the same thing in Iran back in 1954, I believe. And so it's many things. But right now, the Earth is. I mean, we're using resources at nine times replacement level, and we're going to desertify the Earth. We're going to turn it into a desert, and much of it. So we got to find a way to, I guess what I'm saying, Chuck, and this is just my opinion, but we really absolutely have to find a way to deal with population growth. We have to stop it.
You got any ideas on how to do that?
Well, in Rocky Mountain National Park, because I do a lot of work with wolves too, you know, and in Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, there is an overpopulation of elk. And in fact, many of the elk are diseased, which people can get a fatal illness from if they eat the meat. But we had this ludicrous process where the fish and game officials were going around shooting female elk with birth control medications, you know, little darts. And when what we needed to do was to just let in some wolves. And wolves are great population control. So I would say simply, it's a really good question again, Chuck. It's all very fine to talk about these problems, but what are the solutions? And I think obviously free access to birth control is paramount. And in many cultures, particularly in Africa and the Islamic cultures, a man's self-image and his reputation is based on how many children he produces. So it doesn't work in these countries. So I think it's going to be like Malthus projected. We're going to have huge plagues and enormous starvation and war as well. But I do think it's important that we try to, in countries that do have a culture of Western civilization, I think that it's very reasonable to try to limit the amount of in-migration into these countries. Because as I said about France, I mean, France is nearly at the breaking point and many more immigrants coming in, and France, the great culture, the great civilization of France, which in many ways is the birthplace of democracy, recent democracy, is going to go under. And the terrorism that happens in France now on a nearly daily basis, driven by Islamic fundamentalism, is driving the government to its knees. And the result is not going to be pretty. So, to a certain extent, we do have to protect our cultures by limiting the amount of for some reason the Democratic Party seems insistent on creating a number of candidates who are so completely out of touch with the American mainstream that there's no possible way that they're going to get elected. And the idea that opening borders, I mean, as I said, there's of the 480 million citizens in Latin America, about 350 million want to come to the United States within the next 12 months. And it's not to visit, it's to stay. There you go. That's kind of it. And in closing about this, I think that what's really important as Americans is that we've got to stop demonizing each other. In all my travels through the U.S., and I've lived in many places from New York City to San Francisco to rural Maine, rural Montana, all over the place. And everybody, we all want good outcomes. We all care about, nearly all of us care about important issues. We just have different ideas about how to get there. So we've got to reestablish conversation. And in order to do that, we have to stop listening to the media, because the media is extremely divisive.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't mean the New American Dream radio show. That's not divisive.
Be quite the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I've probably gone over my time. I'm sorry for that, Chuck.
This will be just. Well, oddly enough, right about when Mike was saying that he went over his time, Skype cut off on us during that interview, and but we got everything in. I thought it was fascinating to hear his take on some of the reasons for refugee crisis and so forth, and really appreciate having Mike Bond on the New American Dream Radio Show. Talk to you on the other side of the station break.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
She tried travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Philip joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. And we're going to lead off his segment here with his column, It's the Empire, Stupid. Take it away, Phil.
How you doing, Chuck? All right, everybody. Recipe for disaster. You know, I tune into many cooking shows lately. They have lots of recipes for just about any kind of dish one can imagine. Well, from our 21st century military-industrial empire's cookbook, the most popular recipe is this one. Take the two-party, one-party food fight and add a large portion of mainstream media bullcrap. Voila! You will have the finest disaster dish around. With all the many terrible actions by this administration to subjugate we working stiffs, the apologists for empire refuse to mention them and instead focus on constitutional technicalities. Tune in the BoobTube and view the pro-impeachment versus no-impeachment rhetoric concerning this possibly AHHDD, that's Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, president. Here are the symptoms of inattention. Right from the medical dictionary. Often makes careless mistakes and lacks attention to details. Example, overlooking or missing details or handing in work that is inaccurate. Often has difficulty paying attention to tasks. Example, difficulty remaining focused during lectures, conversations, or lengthy readings. Often seems to not listen when spoken to directly. Example, mind seems elsewhere, even in the absence of a obvious distraction. Often fails to follow through on instructions, chores, or duties in the workplace. Example, starts tasks, but quickly loses focus and is easily sidetracked. Often has difficulty organizing tasks and activities. Messy, disorganized work, poor time management, fails to meet deadlines. Often avoids, dislikes, or is reluctant to participate in tasks requiring sustained mental effort, like preparing reports, completing forms, or reviewing lengthy papers. often loses things like tools, wallets, keys, eyeglasses, mobile phones, often easily distracted by other things, including unrelated thoughts, and often forgetful in daily activities such as running errands, returning calls, paying bills, and keeping appointments. Now, you don't need a degree in psychiatry to notice how Mr. Trump displays many, if not all, of these symptoms. The fact that he continuously repeats a phrase two times is an indication. Yet, his condition is only part of the complex problem that this military-industrial empire has created. Viewing a week ago's supposed Democratic Party presidential debate made this writer contemplate throwing my shoe at the television screen. One solitary aspirant on the stage, Miss Gabbard, had the audacity to mention wars of regime change that are synonymous with long-standing U.S. foreign policy under all of our previous presidents. Now, the others on that stage, all of them, like deer caught in the headlights, just brushed her remarks aside like an elephant does a fly on its ass. They were too concerned with helping the Kurds from being massacred by the Turks in Syria. After all, the Kurdish forces were wiping out ISIS from that part of Syria, and Trump gave a green light to Turkey by pulling U.S. forces out. And that was and is the new rhetoric, right? Well, not really. You see, if the Bush-Cheney gang did not attack and occupy Iraq and Afghanistan, and if the Obama-Hillary gang did not attack and destroy Libya, there would be no ISIS or whatever group of Islamic fanatics assembled in that region, including Syria. By the way, U.S. foreign policy aided and abetted those fanatics so as to see regime change come to Syria, which is a cog in the geopolitical landscape of that Middle East region. Translated, what Ms. Gabbard was saying in my assertions is that the two-party, one-party representatives of this empire all have dirty hands in this mess. Mr. Trump is just the latest of many minions of empire. The two-party, one-party scam continues, so as long as the hundreds of millions of working stiffs keep buying into what they are selling. The Republicans always take the lead in protecting the interests of the super-rich. All Trump did was sell his phony populist Kool-Aid to the millions of working stiffs by scapegoating the non-white poor, playing the terrorist fear card, and blessing our militarism, and of course catering to the evangelical anti-abortionists. With all the skeletons he has in his closet, if the Democrats ran Donald Duck instead of Mrs. Clinton in 2016 with all her skeletons, they would have won the White House. Not to be, not to be. The empire needs to keep the suckers deaf and dumb to what it always has been doing, which is support the super rich and the obscene militarism that protects them. Why is it that during all the Democratic Party's so-called debates, no mention of the fact that over half of our federal tax dollars goes down the rabbit hole of military spending? You want what now many running for president are trumpeting? Medicare for all? Of course, all but perhaps Sanders are still embedded with keeping private insurance active. Well, if you cut even 25% of that militaristic spending, which would be at least $180 billion a year, and you can have comprehensive national health care for all of us without the private insurers being involved. Of course, if you want to see real and viable change within our political system, then take all the private money out of elections by instituting public funding. Then the two-party, one-party scam would end for good. Thank you.
That's quite a lot to think about, Phil. Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
Indeed, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, before we get into a discussion, let me tell the listeners that, you know, just in case any of the listeners might also be suffering from ADHD, you can read this excellent article on Phil's website. It's theempirestupid.com. That's itsTheEmpireStupid.com. There's some really good stuff on there, and we're going to be adding more and more I'm Phil's webmaster. I'm hosting this site on my server, and anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. So,
so tell me, what do you think about this ADHD of the president?
I think it's a pretty common disorder for modern society. I mean, certainly Mr. Trump exhibits it, but I'm not sure he's really showing much more of it than the average American these days. And that's a frightening thing to say.
Yeah, but again, the average American is not the president of the United States with all the responsibility and the power.
Well,
and
yeah.
To me, it's dangerous. To me, it's very dangerous to have a person as president of the United States that exhibits these obvious symptoms. I mean, the thing that got me originally when I... Because I really never, listened to the guy years ago. I have no interest in his stupid, TV shows and all the other garbage. But He always repeated everything twice. I remember that from years ago. He always says the same phrases twice, and that's there was a character in the movie Goodfellas, the Scorsese film, and his name was Tony Two Times. He was one of the gangsters. Yeah, one of the gangsters. And he would say, I got to go get the papers. Get the papers. It was like, it was very humorous, The character. But that's what this guy has been doing for years. He repeats himself. And I think that's kind of, scary, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the piece wasn't just about that. Yeah.
Oh, of course not. But that particular part, Dave, repeating himself, I think is more of a little rhetorical trick.
That
somebody told him, "Hey, it's going to be more effective if you take your main points and you repeat them twice. You repeat them twice."
Okay. Even I'm saying it. Okay.
You know what I mean?
but what'd you think about? So what'd you think about the fact that I, whenever I broadside, Trump or his party, I always make sure I broadside the other party because I have no use for I have no use for either of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I have not managed to bring myself to watch these debates. I tried a little bit, but I just couldn't. It was so ridiculous. I could not sit there and watch the whole thing.
Well, it's ridiculous because it's very similar to when we were back in junior high school. And we had the GO, the general organization elections, for the kids running for office. And in the assembly, they would have them do their little, shtick, whatever, when they were running. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was very similar. It's like kids back in junior high school, trying to enunciate their own brand. They really don't talk about too many issues. But it's more about branding, and it's really very sad. It's like a bunch of kids, really.
I don't see it going anywhere. I don't see a viable candidate coming out of this sort of a setup. I really think that we're very likely to have another 4 years of Trump.
Well, look, if you think back to 2016 when he ran against the Republican guy, a group, it was the same thing, really, when they had their, quote, debates. It was a joke. It was a total joke, remember they were talking about the size of your hands and what it meant? This is low. I mean, think about that. This is such low culture. Yeah. I mean, come on, Chuck. I mean, regardless of what you feel about what I feel about the political party system, the way it is, I mean, you know, you wouldn't see Kennedy and Nixon debating and doing that. You know, this is so low base. It's really scary that
it
our
is.
Country is. Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough that the education system, the public education system, I would say for 30 years now, has been so dumbed down. You know, it's so dumbed down that I mean, there are people, you know, that they can't even graduate, you know, high school when they wind up becoming police officers.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the town I live in, I mean, yeah.
Right. And you know, the dumbing down is no accident.
If they
can keep everybody, if they don't really try to get anybody to think, but instead they just train them to parrot back whatever is said to them, that they can be, you know, moved to one opinion or another, and they won't even think about it. They just, oh, well, so-and-so said we should do this, and so, you know, we've got to do this.
Well, it's like, you know, that's why I think everyone, every kid in school should watch Inherit the Wind, the film Inherit the Wind, read the play Inherit the Wind.
Yeah.
Because I just watched it recently for the 10th time with Spencer Tracy and Frederick March. And that's an example, Chuck. That's an example of a dumbed down culture. When the people in that town or that area in Tennessee, they were so propagandized by the church, you know, by their churches. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to debate whether teaching evolution is proper. I mean, is beneficial. The fact of the matter is that what Spencer Tracy, as Clarence Darrow, was saying, is that people need to think, they need to reason.
Exactly.
You know, you just can't follow the script that is given to you, and that's what you're saying. The public is given this script, and it carries over into these electoral campaigns. It's all sound bites, right? Sound bites.
Yeah.
You know, 20-second sound bites and image. You know, and the celebrity, and then there's always scandal, not the good scandal. You know, where somebody has done something crooked. You know, but somebody was screwing around on his wife or on her husband.
Right.
It's just low base. I hate to say it, but folks, we are living in probably the end of the empire, because this is such a low base culture, with the dumbing down of the education system. You know, I could go to the gym and I could stop, you know, 18, 19, 20, 22-year-old kids. I can ask them questions about recent history, and they don't have an idea what I'm talking about. They don't even have an idea of what I'm even talking about. It's scary. It's scary, you know? So the two parties are guilty of this. They want to keep their public, or their public, dumbed down, so they can hit them with sound bites and with imaging, and not talking about, like you said, not talking about real issues.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that got me was all these Democrats, except for Sanders, and they were all talking about they wanted Medicare for all. I want Medicare for all. You know, I want it, but not the way they want it.
Yes.
And the way they want it, except for Sanders, they would like to keep the private insurance companies involved. You know, now, you know, I have a Medicare supplemental. I'm not going to name the company, but my ear, nose, and throat doctor twice wanted to give me the procedure to get the deviated septum fixed.
Uh-huh.
And my insurance carrier twice said no. No, I mean, they refused his request, and he's a specialist, and they wouldn't let him do it, you know. And this is what you have when these private insurance companies are taking over a person's you know, health, you know, care during you know, Medicare. So the people on that dais, except for Sanders, all these other Democrats, oh no, they. I think one of them said, "Oh, what about the 150 million or 100 million people that have their insurance and like their insurance, and they want to keep it. I mean, you know, give me a break here. You know, give me a break. I mean, if they're offered, the option of having a total Medicare without a private insurance company involved, where I mean, there's no way anybody who would read these spreadsheets and understand would want to go back and have a private private insurance company handle them. So it's all propaganda. And it's really sad, Chuck. It's really sad that
it is indeed.
You know, and you talk about the military spending. Well, I talk about the military spending. I've been on this for years now. No, I'm just making a point that people don't realize that half of their federal tax money goes towards the military spending.
Yeah.
Okay. It's part. Go ahead.
They not only don't realize it, they refuse to believe it when you tell them. You can show them facts, but it doesn't matter. They don't believe it, for one, and then they turn around and they say, "Oh, but we need to be defended against these horrible people that are going to come and invade us, or they're going to do this."
Well, you know what I wanted to ask you? I'm asking this actually rhetorically. Why are the Russians our enemy? I mean, there is no communism in Russia or in China, really.
Yeah,
there is no communism. The Russians are our competitors economically, but the neocons in government, who actually control the Democratic Party and half of the Republican Party, I mean, the neocons, they call them our enemy. Russia's our enemy. Mm-hmm. Russia's our enemy. Why is Russia our enemy? I mean, there's no Cold War, but they want to start a Cold War.
And exactly. Yeah. They need us to have an enemy so we don't think about the fact that they're the ones oppressing us. You know, anyway.
But it's scary. It's scary. I mean, $700 and something billion a year towards military spending. An Apache helicopter cost in 2007 it was $20 million. Now it's probably more. Apache helicopter and all these weapons systems. It's insane. All the bases. I mean, 1,000 bases overseas with thousands of U.S. personnel. Where are we at war? What you talking about? Yeah. A bunch of Islamic fanatics and maybe a couple of thousand of them in the world, you know. But they have to make an enemy. It's what you said. We have to have an enemy. So it's really sad. It really is. And the two parties are equally guilty of this. And that's what makes me really upset. You know, that one woman running for president got on the dais and she really gave it to Hillary Clinton, because Clinton gave it to her and then she said regime change wars. That's all they care about in this country, the foreign policy. And the rest of the Democrats kept their mouth shut. They didn't even agree with her. They're afraid to even mention it.
Right.
You know? And not one of them will ever talk about having public funding of all elections. Listen, folks, you know, I know it's getting late, but let me just say this. Until we get public funding of elections, we're never going to have change, because the two parties are so entrenched, or the super rich, like people like Trump and like Ross Perot, who use their own money because they have so much of it. Once we get that private money out of political campaigns, we can have a lot of people, a lot of different parties running for office, maybe winning, and you have a whole different political system. Totally different, you know. But we're not going to have that with just these two parties controlling everything. And this is what you get. You get, as Ralph Nader says, you get Twiddledum and Twiddledee, column A and column B. And, you know, it's really sad. Yes, I fear the Republicans more than I do the Democrats, obviously, because Republicans are more, as one guy gave it a really good analogy. He said the Republicans are the wolves and the Democrats are the foxes. The wolves are just in a pack, and they just come to devour you. The Democrats are the foxes. They're very shrewd, sneaky, you know. But either way, he said, you're either going to get it. He said, you're going to get it either way. Yeah. So, you know, what can I tell you? It's just the way it is. It's sad. It really is.
It is indeed. Well, we are just about to the end of this segment, and it's always fascinating to talk these things over with you, Phil. Once again, you can find Phil's columns all over the internet. You Google Philip Farrugio, that's Farrugio, and you can find a lot of the latest stuff on itsTheEmpireStupid.com.
And if you want a picture of me, you go into any local post office and you can see a picture of me. Of course, there's a handkerchief
right
over my...
America's Most Wanted, yeah.
there's a handkerchief over my, right under my nose and my thing. But anyway, thank you for having me on again, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet, Phil. Thank you. And I look forward to another discussion next week.
Halloween night. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, that's right. Halloween night. All right. And
thank you, Chuck.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. And listeners, talk to you on the other side of the station break.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose.
You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneider will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the evening is Michael Annis. Michael joins us each month from Denver. And I'm going to try to add him to the show right about now. Michael is the founder and editor of Howling Dog Hello. Press. And a poet in his own right. He's just joined us. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Chuck. It's good to be back on the New American Dream. So I got to launch because I've got a lot of ground to cover here in the time allotted. So, and it's been generous. You've given me a generous amount. So I'm reading tonight my essay that was an opening essay from Cost of Freedom, which was published in 2007. I work with Mike Palachek and Whitney Tretien on that. My essay, we all wrote introductory essays. My essay is titled American Addle, as in addlepated, and it's obviously a play on words of American Idol, the TV program. So, preliminarily, besides his condemnation of the Bush administration's illicit war upon Iraq, this essay is prescient for what we are experiencing in our current time by describing the foundations for the state of America today under Trump. And you'll hear, the listeners will hear echoes from the present as they float backward to 2003 to 2007. I begin with a famous quote that was printed in the opening pages of Cost of Freedom.
Why, of course the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England nor, for that matter, in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of a country who determine the policy. And it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. Nazi Reich Marshal Hermann Göring at the Nuremberg war trials before he was sentenced to death. American Addle. The national descent into the dark ages of global sadism in the name of God and country, a cell phone, an SUV, a Bible, a Big Mac, and snatch. Wars upon third world nations, upon individual liberties, the biosphere, the middle class, the poor. Wars everywhere, omnipresent. Give me your tired, your hungry, your gullible, your poor, and I will turn them into the weapons of war. That which is termed democracy is artifice. An artifice collapses like an ice cream cone in hell, along with the powers of reason and discernment, as question marks appear over our heads. Corny, vicious, gluttonous, cartoon people, willing to do nearly anything. Pray for your leaders, say the right-wing conservative Christian clergy and their faithful sheep in the headlights. I pray that Bush, Cheney, Rove, Rice, Rumbo, and all who are created in their mold are barred forever from politics, then held accountable before a world court for their murderous crimes against humanity. This I pray. Yet it's neither a matter of what one prays nor writes. Arguments and eloquent protests against war, tyranny, and injustice have blossomed forth throughout human civilization. But who is paying attention? The neocons only listen to track down who stand in their way to world domination. Such infidels to be rounded up under the false pretenses of terrorism against the nation. Then, extraordinarily rendered, kidnapped, crated up, and shipped off to some sheik's dungeon. Write all you want. Is it predicated upon the premise that Bush and Cheney have not turned a deaf ear? But Jekyll and Hyde care nothing of what you or I think. They care nothing about your children, grandchildren, or the starving AIDS babies of Africa or New York or New Orleans. They are bad teeth that first poison the mouth, then the whole body until the body finally dies. The only way to remedy a rotten tooth before it kills a nation is to yank it out. It won't become unrotten of its own accord, or through coaxing, encouragement, prayer, or protest. Here's a basic idea, Lyle, and you ain't gonna like it no how. Gonna have to yank them out, take them pliers, and pull fast and hard. But here's the rub. Through our dumbing down and softening up for the corporate kill, we have done lost our pliers, along with our reading glasses. America descends haughtily and noisily into the pit of jingoistic sadism by its people who would habitually munch burgers rather than books. They feed their faces while the heads starve and the minds implode to become one big penis. A heat-seeking missile with snatch on its mind. Burgers, brewskis, fries, and pussy. Life's so good it's almost poetic. Turned over like hot taters to predatory folksy talking flops who wave the flag of the Christian crusades and call it democracy. Are any remaining vestiges of independence, intellect, true morality, ethics, or free thought that might have existed before 9/11? The Republic exists solely as they define it. Make America great again, they chant. The despots who deny health care to all, leaving people bankrupt, penniless, dying in the streets, are the same people who pass legislation giving corporations, non-living entities, more rights under the law than human beings. These same ones who churn propaganda denying global warming, propaganda that states we were attacked by Iraq on 9/11, the same termites who buy out a third world nation's debt from the World Bank and IMF to facilitate suing that nation for, in quotes, damages 50 times greater than the amount of the original debt. What is the sum of this? A world continually on the brink of suicide or revolution or war upon its weakest members, for strife of this magnitude, where people have no recourse to protect themselves, to pursue happiness, or to become educated, not indoctrinated, leads to predation, not peace. And predation is the nucleus of war. And here is an example of the depth to which their predation will sink. The Bush administration quietly cut Medicaid funds for their war so that oil companies can steal us and another country blind. Their progenitors, Nazis, first executed the disabled and handicapped. Society's most defenseless members were followed by Jews, gypsies, and all other undesirables. What loving, God-fearing, Bible-thumping Christian would cut the funding for Medicaid, one might ask, a program critically essential to people in wheelchairs, on life support, in desperate need of oxygen they cannot pay for, and so on, so his corporate overlords can use the money appropriated for this and other social programs to send our nation's children to kill and be killed, thereby opening the floodgate for an oil flow to make these same corporate overlords corpulently rich. Baffling and sinister, say the sinners. But our good Christian folk, playing imperialist Pac-Man, don't seem to connect the dots. The United States of America, in quotes, elects its supreme predators to strip itself of its liberties, its vitality, its health, its education, its literacy, its happiness, its generosity, its compassion, its will, thereby encouraging its predators to dictate the fate of its children and grandchildren, producing generations of enslavement to come in the name of God, gold, and country. Paranoid, greedy, self-serving above everything else, our unelected predators, not guns or smart bombs or WMDs or anthrax, are the weapons of mass deception, using your children and mine, but not their own, as the weapons of war. We are the weapons, waxing willfully ignorant in favor of the next new convenience and a ticket to American Idol. Continuing to function as the predators have programmed us through their culture of artifice, pseudo-democracy, and selfie-meism, we too become predators and teach our children predation and depredation to serve mindlessly the whims of the corporations while proclaiming ourselves the saviors of humanity and the world, to inflict our predatory kindnesses upon anyone, anywhere, anytime who is something that we covet. What have Native Americans to say about our predatory kindnesses? Bush stole elections, the dignity of the American people, and works at raping the Middle East. But the entire North American continent was ruthlessly stolen through, in quote, America's birth. Now there are other continents to be had. Democracy and capitalism are ground up in the American consciousness as synonymous terms. Democracy represents freedom and equality. Capitalism is intrinsically predacious. And this irony, George Bush claims to be a Christian, a bringer of peace. And Donald Trump, one who would lead us back to his personal fantasy of greatness. Yet Jesus called Satan the father of lies and lord of the flies, death. Endless fields of corporate money constitute the greening of America, where riches and liberties are harvested for aristocratic landlords, and us sharecrop and hoi polloi stick out parched tongues for the trickle-down. In New York Harbor, the head of Lady Liberty has been lopped off and replaced with the head of Ronald Reagan. A Stetson replaces the crown, and in place of the torch of freedom, he raises his Colt 45, fires, and blows holes in the ozone. his boots spur an inscription. Welcome to the New World Order. Don't forget your wallet. The baby boomers and their progeny pant for Ronald Reagan. They pant for American Idol. Our trite, egregious, megalomaniac shame is bottomless. Who in their right mind would idolize us? Well, the old British Empire, coalition ally of the willing, willing to help steal what they forgot to steal when they mortared together the country of Iraq. It's one more corporatical con job to focus our sons and daughters' worship upon worthless artifice. What one worships enslaves one and others. In that, there is no peace. Worship heroin, be a junkie. Worship money, you'll do anything to get more of it faster. Inventing endless treacheries, slaughtering hundreds of thousands of innocent men, women, and children, old, young, disabled, healthy, theirs and ours, de-idolized, thus dehumanized by another prophet of God. Here follows scripture from the Holy Writ of the Mythos of America by chapter and verse, starting with 03:16. Where were the wise men of God when it was time to stop the young proselyte from launching his holy war? Why, they were busy counting their tithes and dreaming of the power George II had promised them, of Jehovah's fire raining down judgment upon the sinners of their fallen nation. With the help of God and his strong arm, GW, they were to be lifted out of obscurity and invalidity to become, once and for all eternity, American idols, bearing the judgment of God for all mankind upon their humble shoulders. On their Sunday morning programs are written the words, Jesus is an imperialist. 03:17. And then, woe is we, smack in the middle of Iraq's bloodbath folly, came the good Lord riding bareback upon Katrina. And GW played his guitar, and his little bobblehead Nero, riding the dashboard of his pickup, smiled and bobbled up and down, yes, 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 and GW knew, deep in his once-a-drunk Texas picker's heart, that he ain't bobble it alone, that the good Lord planeth unto the ears of his servants, even through their bobbleheads, and giveth them a sure sign, saying, but the tithes need counting, and thy treasury is now filled, but for the things of God, not for the things of man. Thus there was finally enough money to refinish the pews, and to buy real alcohol-free wine instead of the miserable profane grape juice, and there was that multimillion-dollar pastor's retreat that had been seen in a prophecy from God nearly 20 years ago, and it now could come to pass, because GW was and is God's right-hand man. 03:17b. And he turned his face away from the cameras and from the reporters' sundry accostings, and looking heavenward saith, yes, I must be the appointed one, for no one else before me hath done this noble deed. 03:18. So the tithes were already spoken for, and the refugees of New Orleans were moved to Houston, God's capital, mostly, where GW's virgin mother declared that they finally had hope and were better off than they could possibly imagine or even ever been, even on drugs. And someday over the rainbow out in the North 40, GW held the potential for mansions for all of them, or at least a new bunkhouse, as long as they ceased bitching and moaning and got in step with those things of God as manifested in the new American century. GW and GW's Republican Guard and those placed by the Lord on his earth to defend the Lord through Jehovah's Commander-in-Chief of Misery, DJ Trump, whose holy commission was to serve God by first walling off the southern border and thereafter walling off each state by state around its perimeter, blue states first, and then that there should no longer be sin in his great land, walling off each human's consciousness from the others, that they should all serve the Lord of hosts, designated supreme being by a huge majority of voters. 03:19. And that's the way. the good Lord works. That's the way it happened, worthy of praise through time and eternity. Thus saith the Lord of America and the Middle East, even Israel, GW, DJ, out of both sides of their mouths. Amen. Well, here's an idea, Lyle. Replace American Idol with a reality series based on Bush's America, American Idol 2008, dramatic series. The hopelessness, poverty, hunger, and despair of a New Orleans family catastrophically impacted by Hurricane Katrina as they continue to await government and corporate assistance after 3 years of being victimized while living disinherited in the streets, in the Astrodome, in trailers, and in various Louisiana shelters and shanties, and then being sent forth into states other than their own. They shuffle about aimlessly looking for work, but finding none except the father and his two sons enlist in the military, where they are summarily sent to Iraq for the defense of the Union and its enrichment through Iraqi oil. One son dies in combat, the other is crippled for life, while the father is maimed so and are denied badly that when he returns, no one will hire him. The family goes on welfare and are denied all veterans' benefits by the government that sent them to war. My president doesn't steal his way as a squatter into the White House. He doesn't launch wars of imperialist aggression. My president doesn't incessantly lie and deceive his own people. So just who are your people, George? Rather, should I not call you mein Führer? Not in your lifetime. I'm all out of Nazi salutes. It's not about your daughters cutely quipping on Fox News or your wife's promotion of government-sanctioned poetry or about your presidential pets or how long you've been sober. It's about how you've taken this nation, my country, and used it as your private six gun for the sake of greedy-minded rats posing as public servants in the name of God and Christ. It's about how you're no better than King Leopold II of Belgium, or Stalin, or Hitler, or Saddam. The number of their murders place them in descending order of history's greatest monsters. You and your demonizing of others is evil while smirking at yourself in the mirror, the great uniter, ripping asunder the people of this nation in psychic civil war, forging yourself a paper crown out of your bill of die. You yuck it up. The city's drowned. You strum your guitar. The nation's ceiling caves in emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. You land on an aircraft carrier as if it were your personal movie star set. We the people don't owe you, Cheney, or your baboons one thing, particularly some stripe of allegiance. But as an American, this is what we now owe the rest of our world, our Constitution, and founding fathers, to send the thugs and bad teeth extraordinarily rendered to a world court where they can be tried and prosecuted for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crimes against the biosphere. We don't owe criminals retirement benefits, a presidential library, speaking engagements at our universities, or a synthetic TV docudrama of their courageous leadership. We do owe our children's history books the prosecution of weaseling tyrants to the full extent of the law, because if we don't, they will be back. Maybe not these some dozen hooligans, but other avaricious creeps without conscience who think the Constitution and the will of the people exist to make themselves all-powerful, murderous, and rich. Keith Olbermann called for you to do the decent thing, as Nixon was forced to do when he was found out to be less than what was expected in a president. Mr. President, resign, said Olbermann. And that demand echoes into right now, as I read this essay. Mr. President, fire yourself. We attempt to appeal to your sense of honor and dignity, but your ambition always throws up roadblocks, and you plumb forgot where you put your virtue. So, George, don't resign. Don't fire yourself. No need to start doing things as any normal human being would do, not with God talking in your ear like he does. Don't do America or the rest of the world any more of your favors. Just stammer and splutter around, lie, cheat, steal, huh, and duh, and and yuck, and tickle your daughters with your recovered alcoholic witticisms long enough so the true patriots, citizens upholding the Constitution, can storm the White House gates and grab you by your ears and yank you out of a place that was never meant for your species' habitation. Grab Dick, Don, Gonzo, and Condi by their noses, crate you all up, and ship you third-class mail to a world court where you can be tried and prosecuted. That's the only favor we want. Stick around with your goofy grin, broken English, and hand in Social Security. Painful. Painful. Help us leave a simple roadmap for future generations. Yank them out. Going to be painful, but you have to do it, Lyle, unless you sure want your grandchildren shot up and bleeding to death in Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran. After we the people have smoked out the enemy, may we extend kindness, goodwill, and mercy without fear attached, without wars upon others for their salvation. Peace without predation. What an asinine, unthinkable, profitless notion for a nation.
Wow, that was quite something, Michael.
Well, I'm sure I offended everybody, but that was the intent.
But I tell you, all you'd have to do is change a few names, and throw Trump in instead of George. And it's the same thing going on. We got one gang of thugs after another.
I know. And if we don't get to a place where we can know what to do with these thugs, if we don't recognize them for what they are, they will keep coming back. It's guaranteed. They pull the same routine generation after generation, and they hope that nobody is actually studying the history books or reading the material that brought down the people before them or lifted
right.
them up. Yeah, so it's frustrating.
Of course, they do their best to hide those history books and teach a different version of history in the schools and not really teach people to think for themselves, but rather to parrot back what is told to them.
Exactly. So I can illustrate that really quickly. So the last textbook that I saw that was a 12th grade history textbook.
Yeah.
It had one column inch on one of the greatest labor and social movements we've ever had. They devoted one column inch to the wobbly.
Wow. Wobbly. It's probably lucky that it was in there at all.
No.
Michael, we're out of time. Thank you so much. And listeners, we're going to be having Michael back next week for our Halloween show, and I look forward to that. Talk to you next time. Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Thank you. And listeners, we'll see you on the other side of the station break.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles, a show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Decentralization and then annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, Mycoin, Yourcoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the New American Dream Radio Show. And we're going to start off this final segment with another guest that I pre-recorded earlier. And this is Frank Cordero, who runs the Des Moines, Iowa Catholic Worker House. Unfortunately, there were some problems in this recording, so it's not the greatest quality, but I believe you can hear him, and this is a very important report from Brunswick, Georgia. So here we have Frank Cordero. Yeah. Well, hello, Frank. I'm so glad to finally get to talk to you. Sounds like it's been quite an eventful time there.
Well, it sure has. I've been here to Brunswick, Georgia, for the King Bay Plowshares 7 trial. It's been a 3-4 day event, and today the voting statements were given, and then the jury went out, and within an hour, this jury of 12 found our 7 Catholic workers and Catholic friends guilty. Of eight or of three counts of destruction of property, a conspiracy account, and a misdemeanor account. So, tickets. A total of four. So there's the conspiracy, two felony accounts, and a misdemeanor account. So theoretically, as many as 20 years total, if you look at the maxes of these sentences. But the important thing is that not so much they were found guilty. The way the legal system works in this country. The judge gives instructions of what is fact and what is not to be listened to. And really always boiled down to two-dimensional issues like, did you destroy this property and how much did it cost?
Yeah.
And the issue whether the property was altered and called it destroyed, the Catholic workers would say that we were witnessing to a larger truth. So we were enhancing the property by money such. For its true nature. That was the argument.
Okay.
See, the argument is not that there's criminal activity going on. The surprise for the folks in the corridor is like, they're not the criminals. The criminal activity is a fine submarine, and that it's on one ship has enough weapons to destroy the human race. This is a fact.
Yeah.
This cannot be legal on any side, at the assumption of the defendants. So, what people need to know, they went to the Trident submarine base. 2018, and this long to the court, and they were some people. Now, they're their priest, Father Steve Kelly, a Jesuit, friend of the Catholic workers, and then there was, of course, Liz McAllister, the wife of Phil Bergen, multiple plots. There's how both Steve Kelly and Liz, you know, they're like you couldn't beat better human beings who represent the best of the Catholic resistance and the Catholic left. infantry, the wife of Phil Berrigan and herself, for a whole network of people who resistance, and I call myself one of them. And then Father Steve Kelly, the Jesuit priest, gave the eulogy for Father Dan Berrigan. And this man himself has done up to 10 years of imprisonment for such acts. Steve Kelly was not heard from in the trial. He didn't want to talk. Huh. Steve Kelly has remained in jail since April 4th, 2018, because he will not, in any conditions, restore innocence. He sits in jail.
Wow.
Steve also knows that if he did not apply for him, so no matter what happens, he's going to be in jail. This is, and he's done more time in solitary than he's done in the common prison thing, because he does not, he's an extraordinary man, a singular witness of strength that speaks to it. He never said the whole trial. Then you have Patrick O'Neill from the Catholic Worker in North Carolina, who has 8 hits. Mark Caldwell, who's from the Catholic Worker in I think New Haven, Hartford, and he's got a couple kids, and they're getting married and stuff. He's wonderful human beings. One of the great sisters, Claire Grady, who's from Ithaca Catholic Worker, and then you've got Dorothy Day's granddaughter, Martha Hennessy, who's a grandmother of 8, and who volunteers part-time at the New York Catholic Worker. She's one of the defendants, and we end up with, I think it's Carmen Trott, who's a New York Catholic, from New York, but Carmen learned about the Catholic Worker when he was in Grinnell, Iowa, and he came and lived at the Des Moines Catholic Worker before he went on to bigger and better things in New York.
Wow.
So it's just the thing I would say about these folks, if they put on a defense, the judge allowed to be spoken, though denied at the end. They put on a defense that was completely immersed and came out of their Catholicity.
Wow.
And more specifically, Catholicity as Catholic workers, followers of that. He was extraordinary witness of that strong that tradition. As a member of this tradition, I mean, it was the best presentation that the tradition could give in a courtroom to defend the right of people to follow the ways of Jesus to the point of disarming weapons of mass destruction. Extraordinary. I'm just been moved by the whole event. They have to return for sentencing in 8 to 9 weeks, something like that. 3 months, up to 3 months. They'll probably happen around the first year, after the first year. And they all get to, they're all back to where they were. I mean, they're in their pretrial condition. Now they have to be home arrest, right, and report. It's a short leash that they're on, but they get to go home. That's what's going on right now. So, they're all eating here at this Episcopal church. And we're about to, at 7 o'clock, start having a liturgy and a mass.
Oh, well,
so, beautiful. Of course, that's what Catholics would do. It's our thing, man.
Well, hey, it's what Episcopalians would do too, Frank.
Exactly. And we are an Episcopalian church.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so thank you for taking the time out to tell us about this, because it's so important.
It really is. It really is. It's just as the thing I was most impressed with is as they were leaving the courtroom, all along the hallway were singing, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, rejoice in the Lord, singing louder and crying, singing. It was just really powerful. You bring the saints as they came out of the courtroom and thanking them. It was good liturgy.
It sounded, wow. Well, that's...
all right.
I'm glad that you went.
I've given up. I hope
thank you so much, Frank. I really appreciate how I hope you get to... I hope you can get back in time for the liturgy and for the mass. And thanks for taking the time out.
I'll see you next week. I'll talk to you next week. God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, once again, I do apologize for the quality of that recording, but Frank's message was just amazing. I am very... proud that an Episcopal church is hosting the Catholic workers for this mass and dinner following the conviction of the Kings Bay plowshares group fighters who are fighting against fighting for peace. So our final guest of the evening is Julius Awafong, and he joins us once a month from Yaoundé, Cameroon, and he pre-records his segments for us because I think it's like 1 o'clock in the morning or later now over there. Sometimes he listens in. I hope he is tonight, but in any case, here is the column that he sent us, and it has to do with things that are going on in Africa right now.
Hello, Chuck. Greetings from Cameroon. Greetings from Africa. This month has been very interesting with a lot of things going on here in Africa, from the level of an intra-country problem to the general, that is Africa as a whole. I'll start with what happened in Guinea-Conakry just last week, I mean the week of 14th. As most African presidents used to do, especially those from the French-speaking or the former French-colonized countries, they have this tendency of not always wanting to quit power. I mean, the leaders, the presidents, they do not generally want to quit power when their mandate is getting over. It is the same thing with Cameroon, you know, like the first president of Cameroon, which from every indication was put in place or put in power by France, to be used as what some political scientists call a comprador leader. That's like a middleman. That's how most African presidents, especially from the former French colonies, behave. They are middlemen playing the role of facilitating or creating an enabling environment for the French or for France to easily come into most African countries and exploit the resources. That's how it's been working since what they call independence was given to them. And one interesting thing, before even talking about Guinea-Conakry, where President Alpha Condé, who after taking power, who after being sworn in 8 years ago, said he was going to respect the constitution and step down after his mandate is over. But getting to the end time of his mandate, he decided to file into parliament for the constitutional clause that limits mandate to be removed and create a limitless mandate for the country. That's the same thing that was done in Cameroon by President Paul Biya in 2008 when he discovered that his mandate, because the 1996 constitution of Cameroon clearly spelled out the fact that the president is going to be there for 7 years, 2 terms, non-renewable, and will quit so as to leave place for a new person to be in as a president. So in 2008, the president of Cameroon went to the parliament, filed in a constitutional amendment a topic since he had the majority in parliament, he asked his parliamentarians, his people, to try to put in place a structure, a text that will be debated upon and which will arrive at the conclusion that the representative of the people have decided that the clause that used to limit presidential mandate is no more valid. And it was done in 2008. That's why he's still in power today, because he ought to have left in 2010. So he was not supposed to be there for the 2011 presidential elections. So those who behave this way in most French or former French colonies are usually supported by France, especially if they assume, if they accept to play the role of a middleman, of a comprador, to facilitate France to come in and dig the resources. But one thing that is striking Africans is the fact that the ambassador, the African Union ambassador to the United States, His Excellency Dr. Arikana Chihombori-Kwa, was fired by the AU. But people started asking questions. I mean, the critical minds, the Africans who really want Africa to go ahead, started asking questions. But why would you fire this man? Simply because in a speech that she made, she spelled out the fact that most African countries are not going forward, are not developing, because they are being clamped down by France. She mentioned the fact that most African countries, especially, and I insist, the former French colonies, have leaders who facilitate France to come in and exploit the resources that is meant for the people. And she added that wherever France finds that it will be a little difficult, she creates some sort of an unrest where the people were fighting themselves. I mean, in this African country, people were fighting one another, maybe the opposition with the man in power, while France would come in behind and start digging the resources. She denounced that. She denounced the fact that any African leader who wanted to stand against France was assassinated by France with the help of Africans. She denounced that. She also denounced the fact that when any African leader wanted to quit from the African French currency that is used in most African or former French colonies, that they call the CFA, Communauté Financière Africaine, that's how they call it. But usually it used to be Le Franc Colonial d'Afrique. That's a currency for colonial, for those who were colonized by France. So they simply changed the name to Communauté Financière d'Afrique. But this money, this legal tender was created by France to control the economy of her former colonies. And till today, she's still controlling that through this currency. That's why the 14 African states that are under France don't have a currency of their own. Like the Americans have the dollars, the British have the pounds, the European Union has the euro. Before that, the German had the Dutch mark, the French had the French francs. But African countries, especially of the former French colonies, do not have a currency of their own. They have a currency that makes them dependent on France. So when His Excellency Dr. Arikana Chihombori-Kwa denounced this economic exploitation of France, she was fired. She was dismissed. No, fired from, I mean, sent packing off the African Union as the representative of African Union in the United States. So the question is, why would somebody, why would a representative of the AU in the US say things that everybody knows? Ask for France to stop holding down most African countries, be fired. That's the question. And it now boils back to what I've said, that most of these African leaders are not there to serve the people they are meant to serve. They are there to facilitate France to come in and exploit Africa. And this links up to why they are in such a hurry to have summit or to get related to China, to India, and to Russia, like what is going on now in Moscow, the African-Russian summit. So people are asking questions. Africa has, you have a French-African summit, or African, they call it in French, France-Afrique. France having a summit with 14 African states. It's more France. That shows you how they control these countries. You have China having a summit with African state, a nation having a summit with a continent. You had India having a summit with a continent. Today is Russia having a summit with the continent of Africa. And you find out that most of these African leaders who cherish relationships with China, with India, with Russia, are mostly led by autocrats. Because China doesn't care if they stay in power, if they massacre the people. What China wants is a relationship that will make her gain, that will make her exploit resources from Africa. The same thing with Russia. Vladimir Putin doesn't care if Paul Biya kills all Cameroonians. What he wants is the trade links where he can come in and compete with France to pick out the resources. That's why they shy away from countries like Britain, like United States, because these countries will ask them to respect human rights. These countries will ask them to respect the rights of the people. But since they don't want it, since they want to continuously stay in power at the peril of the people they are supposed to protect, they are supposed to defend, they are supposed to make sure they live well in a country that is theirs, they prefer to go the other way. So those are the funny things. And you also find out that each time an outgoing president wants to renew his mandate or change the constitutional clause in order to stay in power, it is always accompanied by the killing of people. He uses the military, or they use the military, they use the police to come out and kill people. So the question is, are African leaders really working for Africa? No. That's why I keep on saying that patriotism does not exist in Africa. Let me say in Cameroon, that I know well. And in even most sub-Saharan African countries that I've studied, there's nothing like patriotism. It's about exploiting the people for their own personal well-being. That's what some political scientists called, there's a term for that, neo-patrimonialism, where these leaders confuse what belongs to the state and manage this state belongings as if it is a private property. Thank you, Chuck. I'll be there next month. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Julius Awafong from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Thanks also to all of the other guests that we've had tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. We had Mike Bond coming to us from France, Philip Ferrugia from Port Orange, Florida, Michael Annis from Denver, Colorado, Frank Cordero, normally from Des Moines, Iowa, but tonight from Brunswick, Georgia, and then Julius Abwafong from Yaoundé, Cameroon. So we had people from all over the world, or at least the Western world. And the biggest thanks that I can give is to those of you who tuned in to listen, and also to the network. The Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network. They really do deserve your support. They put on great shows, two streams of great shows, just about 24/7. So head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and make a donation. So it has been my pleasure to have you with us tonight, and I guess I'll kind of close things out with a little song here. If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. Ripple in still water. When there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again, let it be known. There is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Is your data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? In survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk
talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. You call